More than 600,000 persons go missing in the United States every year, and approximately 90% of those missing people are recovered every year, either alive or deceased. But what about the other 10%? Join us on a weekly basis with our new segment, Mandy and the Missings, as I go back and look at old cases as well as new cases of missing persons. Because every person, no matter who they are or where they come from, deserves to be remembered and deserves to still have a case open for them and someone trying to find them. Hey, hey there, pod people. Welcome to another episode of Mandy and the Missings. Today's episode is one I had never actually heard of, but apparently it was pretty huge in the United Kingdom and all throughout Europe. It's about the disappearance of Madeleine McCann. And while somewhere deep down inside my heart does go out to the McCann family for this tragedy, with it being a new subject and something I've just recently come upon, I'm still a little bit angry at the situation. So just know going forward, I do, as always, feel awful for the family of the missing people who and the things that they have to endure. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to go over a timeline because it's a little bit lengthy because this has been going on since 2007. But we'll hit the timeline and then I'm sure I'll have some comments as we go along. So April of 2007, the McCanns go on a vacation. Kate and Jerry McCann and their three children, Madeleine, Emily, and Sean, arrive in Portugal for a holiday at the Ocean Club complex in Praia da Luz. In the evenings that follow, the couple join other adults in the dining at the resort's tapas restaurant, roughly, 50 meters away from where the McCann's children are sleeping. Now, they have, it's this big resort, but it's not like hotel rooms. It's more like apartments that these people have rented. And, I mean, judging by the pictures, it's a nice resort. I can kind of understand, sort of, why they might have had that false sense of security there. Now, May 3rd, 2007, this is the day that Madeleine actually disappeared. Started out normal, around 7:30 in the morning over breakfast. Madeleine asked her parents why they had not been in the apartment when she woke up and cried the night before. This apparently is when Kate and Jerry decided to make a mental note to constantly check their children. Okay. This is what I don't understand. I get that it may look like a safe, secure place, but you have, a three-year-old and two-year-old twins, and you put them to bed, you leave them alone in an apartment in a strange place to go have dinner. Who does that? That's just asking for trouble. It's just asking for trouble. Look what happened. You have a missing child now. I mean, it could, a million different things could have happened. The kids could have woken up and gotten severely hurt or, wandered out and, hell, drowned in the damn ocean or one of the pools. This is why I'm so infuriated with this case, because none of this would have happened if mommy and daddy hadn't decided to go play with their friends at night and leave their fucking kids at home alone. That's just absolutely ridiculous to me. I'm sorry. Anyway, back to the story. I'm still going to be pissed off, but there we go. So later that night, they put the kids down. They go out to have their little adult time at the tapas bar. And there were seven other people who did the same damn thing, who would leave their kids in their apartments alone so they could go have adult time. A little after nine, Jerry returns to the apartment and notices the position of the bedroom door is different to how they left it. But he walks into the room. All three kids are fine, sound asleep. So he goes back up to the restaurant. Apparently he had stopped and was having a conversation with somebody along the way. I'm not really sure why that's important, but it's in here, so I will tell you about it. 9:15, another parent in the group, Jane Tanner, walks past the McCann's apartment as she goes to check on her own kids. Now, she sees a man carrying a child, and after Madeleine disappears, he becomes the police's main suspect. But he had absolutely nothing to do with it. The kid was his. He was actually carrying her home from whatever event they were at, and she was just asleep, so that's why he was carrying her. So had absolutely nothing to do with Madeline's disappearance. Around 9:30, a friend at the dinner table offers to check up on the McCann's kids as he checks on his own kids in the apartment next door. His name is Matthew. He returns. Everything's fine and quiet. Now at 10 p.m., Kate McCann finishes eating and goes back to the apartment. She notices that the kid's bedroom door is open, but as she goes to shut it slightly, a breeze slams it shut. You know, you have that vacuum pressure. So she goes into the room, notices that Madeline's missing, and the window is open, and the shutters are up. So this is when the alarm goes out. So maybe 10 after 10. This is when, oh my God, my kid's gone. And the search for Madeline, or Maddie as they call her, begins. This is where, this is another part that absolutely infuriates me. So, I don't know if Portugal police just aren't trained well, or if they just don't give a shit about missing kids. So about 10 after 10, the McCanns alert the resort about, you know, Maddie being missing. Well, they immediately, you know, go into their missing child procedure. I think there were some 60, you know, employees who searched everywhere. They were all searching until about 4:30 in the morning. Of course, they, you know, the McCanns alerted the complex, and they also alerted the cops. Well, police decided to show up about 10 after 11, an hour later after they had called and said, hey, my three-year-old daughter is missing. An hour. That's absolutely ridiculous. So when they get there, I guess they look around for a little bit, and around midnight, they decide to call the criminal police. Don't know why they didn't come out to begin with. There were so many mistakes with their crime scene investigations. I don't know if they actually know what a crime scene investigation is. I'm thinking maybe they should tune into some of the 800 CSIs that are on TV now just to maybe pick up a few clues. Because a lot of things you would think would be common sense. Like, I have no law training whatsoever. But to me, a common sense, you know, would be, number one, you wear gloves. Number, you know, that's to protect yourself and, you know, to make sure that you're not contaminating evidence. I mean, that just seems obvious. I'm a former paramedic, and that's the first thing that you make sure you have. You have your personal protection. So none of them were wearing gloves while they were going through the crime scenes. And another number one thing to do, close the crime scene. That just seems like it should have been the first thing that happened. These Portugal cops were literally letting people walk in and out, contaminating the crime scene. And, oh my God. Not only that, but after, you know, their initial walkthrough, I guess, they actually let the resort rent the apartment out to, I think it was rented 1 month and then another month to another couple. And then after, I believe, 2 months, the Portugal cops came in and secured it, quote-unquote, again for more forensics gathering. Well, what the hell good is that going to do? You've got how many people after the McCanns leave that's going to have their DNA and shit in the room? Not to mention all the other people that you let in initially. I mean, your forensics sucks. There's not going to be forensics. Well, you're going to have a shit ton of forensics that has absolutely nothing to do with Maddie being missing. That's what the whole big problem is. Not only that, but we're going to jump back to the night of their initial walkthrough or whatnot. They never asked for a description of Maddie. At least, I think it took several hours before any kind of description of the child was given to them. They didn't do any kind of door-to-door search. No roadblocks were set up until, like, I think 10 a.m. the next morning, which is like 12 freaking hours later. What good is that going to do? The dude or whoever or whatever happened, they're gone by this point. You would think, anyway. They didn't request any surveillance camera videos, like to check for cars, to see if the kid may have wandered off somewhere. And this place, I mean, you can look at pictures. You see surveillance cameras all over the place. So it's absolutely ridiculous that none of them were, you know, subpoenaed or whatever so people could look at them. Not only that, but it took Interpol 5 days to issue a missing person. I really don't understand. And it absolutely just infuriates me, the level of incompetency that the Portugal police showed in this. I mean, I don't know if there's murders or if they just are just, you know, whatever, we'll get to it when we get to it type of attitude, but it's absolutely ridiculous. And the fact that they didn't secure the crime scene, how are you, I mean, it's going to be so difficult if something in the future comes to light. I mean, how are you going to prove that that forensics matches anything to do with Maddie? I mean, it could come back and, oh, well, I was there a couple months after. Or, I mean, there's thousands of ways to get around that. A defense attorney could break that down without any problem and get whatever person off easily, I would think. But yeah, this is absolutely infuriating. So they screwed up, contaminated the crime scene, all that good stuff. Not wearing any protection gloves. So they're getting their own DNA mixed in. Anyway, I got to move on because this just makes my blood pressure go up. So let's go to the 5th of May. The Portuguese police reveal they believe Madeline was abducted but is still alive and in Portugal. Don't know how in the world they came to that conclusion. May 14th, detectives take Anglo-Portuguese man Robert Murat in for questioning and make him an arguido, or official suspect. The 30th of May, Kate and Jerry McCann meet the Pope in Rome in the first of a series of trips around Europe and beyond to highlight the search for their daughter. There's a picture here of the couple with Pope Benedict. I guess he's blessing the search. The 6th of August, a Portuguese newspaper reports that British sniffer dogs have found traces of blood on a wall in the McCann's holiday apartment. Exactly 100 days after Madeline disappeared, investigating officers publicly acknowledged for the first time that she could be dead. Well, considering that when a child goes missing, if they're not found within the first 48 hours, they're usually not found alive. So, 100 days later, good guess there, Portuguese police. September 7th, during further questioning of Mr. and Mrs. McCann, detectives make them both arguidos in their daughter's disappearance. All right, here's what I have to say about that. I don't think the McCanns had anything to do with her disappearance. I do think that it was incredibly irresponsible of them to leave their toddlers in an apartment by themselves so they could go out and play with other adults. October 2nd, Goncalo Amaral, the detective in charge of the inquiry, is removed from the case after criticizing the British police in a Portuguese newspaper interview. Yeah, don't criticize the police, the Brits. They know what's going on. 2008, Portugal shelves the investigation. So they had investigated for a year, and they're like, yeah, we're done. She's not here. I don't know. March 19th, Kate and Jerry McCann accept 550,000 euros in libel damages and front page apologies from Express newspapers over allegations they were responsible for Madeline's death. Okay, profiting off their daughter's disappearance. I'm going to let that one go. April 7th, three Portuguese detectives led by Paulo Rebelo fly to Britain to re-interview the seven friends on holiday with the McCanns when Madeline vanished. July 17th, Mr. Murat, the one who was accused, he received 600,000 euros in libel damages from four newspaper groups over seriously defamatory articles connecting him with the child's disappearance. Okay, that I can understand, I guess. July 21st, the Portuguese authorities shelve their investigation and lift the arguido status of the McCanns and Mr. Murat. Like I said, it's been a year. They're done. They did their due diligence. August 4th, thousands of pages of evidence from the Portuguese police files and the exhaustive investigation into Madeline's disappearance are made public. I would love to get my hands on these investigation police files just to see how much of a clusterfuck it has to be, because, oh my God. October 16th, the Tapa 7 win 375,000 euros in libel damages from Express newspaper after articles were published suggesting they had lied about Madeline's abduction. Okay, these people are making bank off of this poor kid's disappearance. That pisses me off too. I'm not saying that, you know, you shouldn't, I don't know. I don't know what I would do if I was in their position. I mean, if the money's going towards, you know, good things or, I don't know. It's one of those, I wasn't their situation, so how can I really know how I would react? All right, so we're jumped up to 2009. Fresh appeal launches. January 13th, Jerry McCann returns to Portugal for the first time since coming back to the UK without his daughter. The 24th of March, the McCanns launch a localized new appeal for information focused on the area in the Algarve where Madeline disappeared. April 4th, Jerry helps film a reconstruction of events on the night his daughter vanished. April 22nd, the McCanns fly to the U.S. to record an interview with chat show host Oprah Winfrey to mark 2 years since Madeline's disappearance. Of course, everybody goes on Oprah. June 14th, dying pedophile Raymond Hewlett says he was in the Algarve when Madeline disappeared and has an alibi, but has no plans to reveal it. You know, that makes me mad too. That's the same dick move that Brian Laundrie's parents pulled. I hate that shit. August 6th, private detectives say they are hunting a quote-unquote Victoria Beckham lookalike with an Australian or New Zealand accent, reportedly seen in Barcelona 3 days after the little girl went missing. Okay, I want to apologize to Posh Spice because I'm looking at a picture of the person that they're claiming is her lookalike. They don't look anything alike whatsoever. Posh is, well, way more posh than this chick is. So I apologize for them equating you to this other person. All right, now we're into 2010. February 18th, Kate and Jerry McCann say they are pleased and relieved at a judge's decision to uphold a ban on a book by former detective Goncalo Amaral. 5 years later, he will be ordered to pay the McCanns 500,000 euros in libel damages. Damn! These people are no joke making bank off of this. God! March 3rd, a newly released file from Portuguese police on possible sightings is called Gold Dust, and could lead to a breakthrough, says a spokesman for the McCanns. May 1st, Kate McCann reveals she had thoughts about being wiped out in a motorway crash to end the pain of losing Madeline, but vows never to give up. November 10th, Madeline's parents launch an online petition to help force a UK and Portuguese joint review of all evidence in the case. November 15th, the McCanns sign a deal to write a book about their daughter's disappearance. So they didn't want the other dude to write a book about it, and yet now they're writing one about it. Okay. This brings us to 2011. May 13th, Prime Minister David Cameron asks London's Metropolitan Police to help investigate the case. Not sure why it took him so long to do that, but okay. November 23rd, Kate and Jerry McCann appear at the Leveson inquiry into media ethics. They tell how media pressure affected their family life and accuse newspaper editors of hampering the search for their missing daughter. Kate McCann says she felt violated when her diary was published without her permission. Her diary was published without her permission. Okay, well, how did they get her diary? Did they go into her house and steal it? That seems a little bit fishy to me. I'm sorry, but it does. December 5th, Scotland Yard detectives spend time in Barcelona as part of their re-examination of the case. Okay, they're in Barcelona, Portugal. Okay, sure. Yeah, whatever floats your boat. Up to 2012, Portuguese police in Porto launch a review of the original investigation. In April, Scotland Yard says Madeline McCann may still be alive and release an artist's impression of what she may look like as a 9-year-old. Pretty little girl. July 6th, British detectives examine a claim that the little girl's body is buried near the apartment from where she vanished. It comes after a self-styled investigator sends police radar scans he claims show a burial site. Okay. 2013. And this is all in February. Jerry McCann calls for politicians to implement the conclusions of the Leveson inquiry in full, backed by legislation. Police say the results of DNA tests on a girl in New Zealand who was mistaken for Madeline reveal that she's not the missing British girl. And retired solicitor Tony Bennett, who published claims that Madeline McCann's parents caused her death, is given a suspended jail sentence. I'm going to go ahead and skip to 2020 because in the years between then and now, suspects were named, nothing came forward, and people are still suing for libel, and people are still making money off of this poor little girl's disappearance. So, skipping ahead of all that bullshit, 2020, a prime suspect finally emerges. June 3rd, it's revealed that a German pedophile in prison has been identified as a key suspect in Maddie's disappearance. A spokesman for Kate and Jerry McCann says it's the most significant development in 13 years. The suspect is linked to an early 1980s VW camper van, which was pictured in the Algarve in 2007. Scotland Yard says he was driving the vehicle in the Praia da Luz area in the days before Maddie's disappearance. The 43-year-old suspect is serving a prison sentence for a sex crime and has two previous convictions for sexual contact with girls, German police say. June 4th, German prosecutors say they believe Madeline is dead, and police are treating her disappearance as a murder investigation. 13 years for them to proclaim that. Man. It emerges that the prime suspect, who is named as German drifter Christian B., allegedly confessed to his part in Maddie's disappearance to a man in a bar. Oh, here comes all the hearsay stuff now. Now listen to this guy. So this guy was sitting in a German bar when a news report about Maddie's disappearance came on. Christian B. allegedly said something to suggest that he was responsible for her going missing. Later, he showed whoever he was sitting with a video of himself raping an elderly woman, an American tourist, in Portugal in 2005. Why would you show that to someone? You don't know. So obviously that prompted the informant to call German police to alert them to, oh God, the suspect around the time of the 10th anniversary of Maddie's disappearance. Now, Christian was already in jail in Germany and being investigated for alleged child sex abuse crimes. He was convicted in 2019 of the rape in the Algarve and jailed for 7 years. German police say that the suspect has previous convictions for child sex abuse. Okay, so he seems like a pretty plausible suspect. So currently it's still ongoing with the investigation into the Christian B. link to Maddie's disappearance. Nothing new has come out that I've seen so far, but hopefully they'll be able to find this poor little girl and, you know, finally put an end to her. Well, I guess her suffering's probably ended a long time ago, we hope anyway. I certainly hope that, and don't take this the wrong way, I certainly hope that, you know, she hasn't been alive this whole time being tortured in some kind of, you know, sex ring sold into as human trafficking or something like that. I hope that she was put out of whatever misery she started with to begin with very quickly for her own sake. I know that human trafficking is definitely a big deal and a big thing. It seems to be a lot more easy to accomplish than a lot of people think. But just to end this on a positive note, as I said, my heart does go out to the McCann family, and I do truly hope that one day they will be able to find a resolution and finally find peace. Thank you for listening to Mandy and the Missings. Join me next week as I go over another unsolved missing persons case.